What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode, Under 40 Victims of Fate. Adam, Hank here with you. Hank, it's good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
Adam, it is great to see you. It's been quite a week. As you know, my alter ego, I do have a day job. And boy, it's been a busy week. It's busy time of year if you work in college athletics at a basketball school. And so I've been busy with that. But things are going well. I'm excited for tonight. I'm jacked up for our guest. But how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I was just chilling this afternoon, and you sent me a text like, stoked for tonight. And I was like, holy crap, I forgot that we're recording tonight. So, yeah, I'm excited too. Like, one of those good surprises that I knew about but had forgot about. It's always fun, you know, having an excuse to chat about what we love, you know?
Well, and here's the thing. We've had a couple of coral reefers on lately. We have a couple more coming up.
That's right.
And I may be as excited to talk to our guests tonight as I have been of any of them. Peter, Brendan, if you're listening, coral reefers coming up on the show, earmuffs. But the guest tonight, let me tell you, just like Austin, one of our early guests, one of my great regrets of 2021 so far is that our audience cannot watch our guests as he talks on our podcast, because buddy, he is looking the part. He's looking the part. Paul, welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Hank. Thanks, Adam. Yes, yeah, I'm one of those people that just emailed Hank and Adam after the first few episodes and said, like, hey, I'm also an under 40 victim of fate. This is really my thing. Like, I'd love to just talk to you guys for a while.
Well, we're really glad that you did, man. Like Hank said, we're excited to talk with you. Hank and I definitely have the faces for podcasts, right? Because you can't see us.
I got the hairline, for sure.
Yeah, when you're listening. Yeah, me too. I mean, mine keeps getting farther and farther up, you know. And, the farther I get into marriage, I'm sure that'll get no better, right? But I tell you what, you guys can't see Paul. He's got on his white sport coat. You know, he looks like he's straight out of 1973 with the Landshark flag behind him. And Havana Daydreaming, A1A, and the Volcano albums are what I see in the picture that are framed up on the wall. So quite the setup there.
And he's got, once again, Adam, we get guests that are great where we're not. I'm not a good musician. You know who is? Peter Mayer. He was on the podcast. Yeah. You know, I don't have great hair. You know who does? Paul Anderson. Here's the podcast.
He's got it.
And I'll admit the long hair is a recent thing. That was something that came up over the last year.
Is that a quarantine deal?
It's a quarantine deal.
Okay.
But, you know, once I realized that it's kind of looking more and more like the Savannah Daydreaming cover, I was like, you know, I could let this keep going for a little while.
Let it ride. Well, Paul, tell us about yourself, man, where you're from and who you are, what you do, that kind of thing.
Sure. Once again, the name's Paul Anderson. Grew up in Minnesota, went to college out there, and I'm currently living in Los Angeles. As far as my Buffett origin story, you could say, I think my parents were never into it. I wasn't one of those people. I think it was more just when I was in high school, I feel like I didn't even know that much of the music, but found the Songs You Know by Heart album used the UCD store for like $4 and thought, like, you know, from the little I know about this, it seems like something I'd probably be into. So I got that and was pretty into that, and gradually sort of started expanding what I had. I think I ended up getting Far Side of the World and A1A at the same time, which was a weird 1-2 punch from two directions.
But a good one.
Yeah, but a good one. Yeah. And I found things to like in both of those. And then once I went off to college, also in Minnesota, we ended up starting a small parrot head club there. And I mean, there were like four of us.
I love
four or five of us.
I love it.
And I mean, this was not an official college chapter of the parrot heads. This was not a Margaritaville University thing. It was just like five of us who found an excuse to drink margaritas once or twice a semester. But we made it as official as we could in terms of, like, I submitted the paperwork to make it like an official campus
student group
co-curricular organization. And we had a table at the co-curricular fair so people could sign up to get on our email list. But again, we never really did much with it. But that being said, after I graduated, I put on my resume that I was the co-president and founder of this college Parrothead chapter, knowing that that most people would just gloss over that. It wouldn't mean anything.
Sure.
But for that fraction of a percent of people that would see that and where it would mean something,
oh,
that it would mean everything.
If you get it, you get it, you know, and that's all you need.
And so fast forward a couple years later, so I moved out to Los Angeles. I knew some people that were living out here, and all I wanted to do my whole life was to work in animation. So I came out here to do that. And after a couple of years, I had a friend who worked at a small studio out here, and he ended up leaving that studio to go to someplace else. And that created an opening. And he told me, like, oh, there's an opening here. Send in your resume to these people. In fact, I think our director of production might like Jimmy too. So maybe that's an in. And so they ended up calling me in for an interview. And I'm sitting there in this guy's office and with two other producers too. And the structure of this interview was basically this director of production reading my resume for the first time back to me. So he's kind of reading through this. And then he gets to that line and he just like stops and screams. And then he says, like, look to your right. I looked to my right and then I saw the 50 ticket stubs
nice.
On the wall at a giant like framed signed thing from James. Then that's what I know. It's like the palm, big fake palm tree in the corner and all this other stuff. And so the rest of the interview was just talking about Buffett stuff. The other producers in the room were just at a loss for the rest of the interview. They had nothing to contribute. And so, I mean, that was, you know, 10 years ago, and he and I still go to shows, going to Vegas for 10 years. That's where that started.
Dude, that is incredible. One of my favorite stories, I think, that might have been told on the podcast so far. What I would give to sit in an interview and have someone not just recognize, but appreciate my fandom of James William Buffett, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm normally the one having to force that upon people.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, fate has never fallen into my lap quite that well, man. That's pretty cool there. I do want to use this second to segue into something. You mentioned the Parrothead group, Parrothead chapter you kind of started. Mm-hmm. Something pretty cool coming out of Key West that Hank and I are a part of called Back to the Island Society. And you guys, if you're listening, you can go there and sign up, put your email in for the newsletter, and to know maybe by the time you listen to this, the website will be live. And it's going to be a kind of a social club, a society promoting the good old days, the good old Buffett days, et cetera. And we're going to be giving a lot of it back to charities, and especially charities that Jimmy is passionate about, you know, Singing for Change, Save the Manatees, all sorts of stuff like that. So thank you for bringing that up to give me a pretty natural segue into that. But
I mean, I listened to your previous episode where you were talking about the Margaritaville University.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that had been a thing when I was in college. I would have been all about.
Yeah.
Well, either it was before, that would have been like between 2002 and 2006. It might have been either before that really started, or I could have just not been aware of it at the time.
Yeah, I think it was before it started, because I was pretty close to the same, a little bit after you. But I was same way, man. We didn't have it when I was in school. There's no way, because I certainly would have known about it. I remember looking, and I admire you, Paul, because you had something that a lot of college students don't have, and that is ambition and drive. And you were like, hey, we need a Parrothead Club chapter out here in Minnesota where it's freezing cold. I'm just gonna do it. And you dove in there, man.
I mean, calling what we did ambitious is very generous.
I'm going with it. I'm calling it ambitious, man. Let me ask you this, man. Like, I Googled a lot of stuff. I don't want to gloss over this. You are one of our first cold calls fans, and thankfully, appreciate our listeners. We've gotten a number of these since you, but Paul, you were number one, man. You were the first person to hit us up and be like, I like the podcast. I think you may be the first person to ever refer to yourself as a fan of Under 40 Victims of Fate. How about that?
Wow.
So we appreciate you.
Yeah. And I appreciate the show. I mean, as I said, it can be rare to find other parrotheads who are under 40. I mean, that's just the demographic makeup of most of the shows. And so it's always thrilling to find that. And yeah, something to be celebrated for sure.
Paul, this is going to be a difficult question this early in the show, but, and mine, you know, though I have been pretty vocal about what my favorite is, it still sometimes changes. What's your favorite album?
You know, I think it's become almost a cliche to answer with A1A, but I always end up going back to it.
Sure.
I mean, there's not a bad song on it. Like every cut is classic.
Yeah, so that's interesting that, you know, after Songs You Know By Heart, that's one of the first ones you picked up. I gotta imagine A1A is not my favorite album or anything, but a song on there is definitely the reason. When I heard Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season, that's what caused me to do the deep dive. Did you have a moment like that with a particular song? Was it the album as a whole, or?
You know, I'm not sure if there was any one specific song. If there was, it might have been Tin Cup Chalice.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. It might have been that I actually heard the Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays album before A1A, in which case I would have heard that live version first, which is the great live version. And it's one of those, I think, kind of uncommon renditions with the full band doing Tin Cup Chalice.
Yeah. No, I love it. You also mentioned Far Side of the World. It's one of the first I think you picked up, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song? I've not been shy about this. Far Side of the World, probably one of my top 10 favorite Jimmy Buffett songs, which, you know.
Likewise.
Yep. Boy, that changes. But the album, very legit. And I'll tell you what, full of treasure too. Do you got a favorite on that one? Favorite song?
I think my favorite on that one is Tonight I Just Need My Guitar.
Oh yeah.
I have,
so good. Great choice.
I have one issue with that song though.
Too short?
I love the song, but it's called Tonight I Just Need My Guitar. And halfway through you have a full string section. That comes in the background. It's like, and so I was excited when I saw that he was going to include that on Songs You Don't Know By Heart.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, good. Now it's going to be just a stripped down, just one guitar rendition. And there's still like three guitars, some percussion going on.
That's right.
Still great. Still a good song, but I'd like to see it actually reflect the title at some point.
My only problem with Tonight, I Just Need My Guitar, is it's too short.
Yeah. Although I will say that sometimes I kind of like that degree of restraint, you know, letting the song be just as long as it needs to be. Sort of the same thing with Dreamsicle, I feel like that's like what, 2 minutes, 15 seconds, something like that. And it doesn't need to be any more than that. It's just enough to deliver what it needs to be.
Well, and here's what I like about Tonight I Just Need My Guitar, right? If you think about Far Side of the World and you look up and down the album, right? Blue Guitar, Savannah Fare You Well, Last Man Standing, right? Like Far Side of the World. Great tune. But there's not a ton of that. Like, there are a ton of us, right, who would look back at Tin Cup Chalice, Nautical Wheelers, those kind of songs, and say, man, that did it for me. Come Monday, you know, hey, James, pick up your guitar and play Come Monday, and I don't need anything else. I don't need Mac on the guitar. I don't need Eric Darkin on percussion. As much as I love those guys, play those songs, right? And If you look up and down that album, there's really not that one song you can point to that he has on most of his albums where you're like, hey, just give me that man, one guitar and that song, and it's awesome. And so I think it fills the need there, right? And it's pretty typical into one of his albums. It's short, compact, meaningful, and I think it works really good at the end, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So have you guys ever heard, not to spend, you know, 20 minutes talking about Tonight I Just Need My Guitar, but it's one of, if I was making a top five all-time list, it's in the top five. Like, it's that good. I love it that much. Have you ever heard Mac tell the story about writing it?
No.
Okay, so Mac's playing this, like, this small room, and it's a video I've seen. I unfortunately wasn't there in person, but, you know, I do a lot of deep dives. So, Mac says the deadline to complete the album was the next morning at 11 a.m., right? So Jimmy says, hey, we need one more song for Far Side of the World. And Mac says, well, you know, it's due tomorrow at 11 a.m. Jimmy says, yeah, meet me at 9:30. We'll eat some donuts and hash it out. He said, what do you have any idea what we're going to talk about? And Jimmy says, you know, I got this title, Tonight I Just Need My Guitar. He said, and I think you know what I'm talking about. Max said, yeah, I knew exactly what he was talking about. And they went in and wrote it in like 20 minutes. And he said, you know, they just ate donuts the rest of the time. I thought that was so Jimmy, you know, to say, you know, that the deadline's 11, or the deadline might have been 10 or whatever, but they met an hour and a half early to write that song, record it, and everything. So I thought
he probably went out, did some paddle boarding, yeah, hung out a little bit, you know, and then was like, all right, we'll knock one out. And that's, I'll tell you what, that's very Mac too. If you know about Mac and his songwriting ability and what he's done as a songwriter, there's a lot of people in Nashville. There's some great, and I'll let, you know what? I'm not giving up hope that we'll have Mac on the podcast one day. So I'll let him tell this story if he ever comes on. But, you know, he's got cool stories. If you ever go see him live, you've got to check it out. If you ever get to see Mac live, he's got cool stories of things like that. He's writing songs for enormous names in Nashville, and they're like, man, we need to finish this song. And somebody will just toss him the car keys and say, go for a ride, Mac, and come back with a song. An hour and a half later, he comes back and here's a song. So very good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would say if there's a runner up to A1A for me, it would probably be Havana Daydreaming.
There we go.
Just album wise.
And that's over your shoulder right now.
It's over my shoulder, yeah.
Which is, I'll tell you what, I've got to figure it out because my wife, when we moved into our house, we've been here about 5 years, and I tried to convince her to let me get a mural in our spare bedroom, like a big mural that covers a whole wall painted of Jimmy Buffett. and she didn't go for it, which was really pretty upsetting, right? Like, I mean, that hurt me. Now, she did let me get a big picture of my dog painted and hang it up, which is pretty good. But no mural of Jimmy Buffett. But you've got Havana Daydreaming, like Adam mentioned, A1A Volcano. And over the other shoulder there, we can't quite see it in the corner. Why don't you talk about, Paul, what you have over there?
So, Ed, I'm trying to remember. I think it was, 2014. It was... there was a promotion with Discovery Channel for Shark Week. And so there was going to be a surprise Buffett performance on the beach in Hermosa Beach. It was going to be shot and recorded for a Shark Week thing. And my friend and I ended up getting a tip the day before that this was going to be, the Buffett was going to be there and doing this. And so we got out to Hermosa Beach that next day, and up to that point, this was by far the closest I'd ever been at a show because we were there early with early information. So we were right up at the barrier that they had set up in front of the stage. And yeah, then it was a slightly stripped down Coral Reefer band, as I recall. Like, I don't think they had backup singers or horns for that one, but the rest of the band was there. And it was, you know, a miniature set, maybe like 9 or 10 songs that they played. And afterwards, like as people were starting to file out, since I was at the barrier right in front of a security guard, I said, like, oh, hey, could I have one of those set lists from the stage? And he said, what's a set list? So I said, like, oh, it's just that piece of paper that's laying there that I'm sure no one else wants. Mm. So yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, sure, here, you know, grabs it, hands it to me. I'm like, what? So I just, like, took it, like, put it in my shirt and just, like, ran, because then, like, everyone else started to converge to try to get the other one.
Should have said, yeah, so, man.
Up on the wall behind me there.
Yeah, pass
from that show.
Right, pass me all those you got. Just hand me all the paper on the stage right now. Just let me see it. That's awesome, man. So what songs are on there?
Let's see, they did the Changes in Latitudes, Fins, Brown Eyed Girl, Son of a Sailor, Cheeseburger, Come Monday, Volcano, One Particular Harbor, Pirate Looks at 40, Southern Cross, Margaritaville, and 5 o'clock Somewhere.
Man, so they went deep, a bunch of deep cuts.
Oh, my
bunch
goodness.
Deep cuts on the beach that day. That's still awesome, though, Paul. That is really cool.
I think they only ended up broadcasting like 3 or 4 songs on TV for that. Okay. Like, I think they might have even played Fins twice just to, because that was the whole Shark Week thing.
I love it. Adam, you good over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
You look like you're ready to chime in.
Man, I just came to the realization. You know, I told you I wasn't prepared for this. I just came to the realization that I don't have my 4 songs for the week, but I know that I'll get them. I know that they'll come, right?
here's the good news, Adam. You do know some Jimmy Buffett songs.
Yeah, I know that I'll get them. I was just sitting over here trying to think, like, what 4 have I? Because it's been so many this week. But anyway, Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit about your concert experiences, man? That's an area, sure. as you've listened, that's an area that I'm a bit lacking in. I'm hoping to change that post-COVID, but you know, just one show for me, but it was one of the best days of my life, I will add.
And which venue was it that you went to?
We saw him in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
And Hank was there too.
I don't think I've ever told the Virginia Beach story on here. I will one day. We had a ball, met 2 great folks. I ate about $12 worth of McDonald's because we didn't eat dinner. It wasn't on purpose, you know, and I wasn't like drunk leaving or the show or anything. But we hadn't had dinner. And so we swung through McDonald's by the venue and no kid, no, ordered like $12 or $14 worth of McDonald's. It was pretty stout. That's a lot of McDonald's, you know, for our listeners. If you don't know, take $14 to McDonald's, try to spend it all and eat everything they give you. That's a pretty big task. But here nor there. Paul, you were front row at Hermosa Beach.
I was.
Tell us other than that.
The first show I went to was at Alpine Valley in Wisconsin. And that's a great first show. And I mean, my girlfriend at the time, she and I drove from Minnesota over there and we were deep in the lawn section. And it was great. Yeah, that was I think that's the only show I've been to like deep in the lawn for that, but it was a great introduction.
Interesting lawn there, right?
It's a great lawn, and just like walking around the whole crowd and the tailgating, it's an experience for sure.
Do you remember what year it was?
That would have been 2004, I want to say.
Okay, yeah, they were getting to it still back then up there at Alpine. Not that they ever don't get to it, you know. The people of Wisconsin would boycott our podcast if I ever, you know, talk poorly about their ability to have a good time. But man, 2004 was back in the heyday.
Yeah, and I want to say that was promoting License to Chill.
Yep.
At the time, so that was there's a lot of cuts from that. And then after I moved out to California, after I ended up working for the guy with whom I bonded about the Buffett stuff. But a year later, Jimmy was playing Irvine, California. And that was a situation where I wasn't I was sort of on the fence about if I'd be going to that show. It was like a Thursday night. I was kind of watching ticket prices and everything. I wasn't sure, but my boss was going. He was planning on going down, and sort of last minute, I bought a lawn ticket off of StubHub like day of, just thinking like, okay, well, I'll just drive down there, hope for the best, see what happens. And as I'm driving down, and like from where I am in LA to Irvine is, you know, up to 2 hours in traffic.
Yep.
So it's a trek to get down there.
That famous LA traffic.
Yeah. And so he was already down there early. And as I was driving down, he's calling me and he says, as soon as you get here, I need to find you because I found an extra backstage pass for you. And I go, great. this is better than I could have expected this to work out. And so once I got there, I did. And he had just found other people there who had extra. And just with as often happens, you find good Buffett people at Buffett shows and you strike up a conversation. And next thing you know, I'm there with him in the fifth row at Irvine for this phenomenal show. And I remember that was one where there were a lot of special guests that came on stage. Like at one point there was Sonny Landreth and Will Kimbrough and Frank Marshall were all on stage at one point.
Nice.
There were like six guitars going towards the end. And I always remembered really liking the version they did of Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street.
Oh, nice.
At that night.
And that was in Irvine, California?
That was in Irvine in 2010.
I'm going to find it. I think a lot of our listeners are too. So Irvine 2010.
So was that like the 90s alt rock band version they kind of do?
Maybe.
Yeah, like
I don't know if I've heard that description.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the way I kind of describe it. I think similar to maybe the way it's done on the Live from Wrigley album. I don't know if
probably.
It's
Peter
more like
Mayer
a
really
power,
tearing it up.
Yeah, it's more there, like a power ballad. Yeah. Yeah, I really like that arrangement too.
And I mean, it sticks out to me because fast forward several years later, I was seeing the show in Vegas and ended up in the backstage area there. And my friends and I had always kind of joked about if I found myself in front of Peter Mayer, like what would I say to him? And so this opportunity presented itself because he was there backstage. And so I said exactly what the joke had always been that I would say, which is going right up to him and saying, and this is like 2015 or 2016 or something, to go up to Peter Mayer and say, like, just want to say the guitar solo that you played during Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street in 2010 in Irvine, California was transcendent. He was just like, yeah, thanks, man.
I'm telling you, I haven't spent an hour, a little more with Peter. Adam and I sometimes visit with our guests, you know, before we start recording, and there's not two more gracious folks we've been around than Peter and Brendan Mayer. But man, having spent just a little bit of time with them, so cool. And I could almost have guessed what his response would have been to that, you know, like, oh man, thank you so much. Yeah. And here's the thing. He is truly, truly like a thankful man. Like he's very glad that people enjoy his music and he gets to do this, you know?
Yeah. And then he, you know, started talking, like he just ran with it. And he was, you know, asking about me, saying like, oh, do you play guitar too? Like what kind of stuff do you like to do? And I mean, I do, but I mean, not enough to speak about it intelligently. So it wasn't a long conversation.
Especially with Peter Mayer.
Right, exactly. But the kicker was a week after that, I was at the show at the Hollywood Bowl and saw Peter Mayer there and he sees me and he goes like, hey, yeah, Caroline Street guy.
What's up?
I wonder if he's ever going to...
And of course, both times I followed it up with, are you guys going to play it tonight? And it's like, no.
Okay. That's a good question, though. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I love it. That's cool, man. And, you know, for those listening, if you're a fan of Peter Mayer as well, if you like that story, maybe it'll inspire you to go listen to our latest podcast from last week that featured Peter Mayer, longtime guitar player for the Coral Reefers, writes a bunch of songs with Jimmy, and he was actually on Under 40 Victims of Fate. He's our first guest, by the way, who was not an Under 40 Victims of Fate. And I only offer that up because he said it. He said his age. So it's fair game. You know, he just entered into the sixth decade of his life per him. So he's much our first guy.
Much to the dismay of Anthony Monaco. Shout out, Anthony. I hope you had a great weekend at the Latitude, wherever you were. No, Latitude Margaritaville is like the retirement home. So I guess that's maybe you were checking it out.
He's not far. Not far.
I'm sure you're not far from there, man. So we love you, Anthony. Truly, we do.
Yeah, we had Peter Mayer on, and he's our first person not under 40. We you know, one day I am declaring it. We will have another guest who's not under 40. I guess we maybe have a Coral Reef or two coming up that are not, but hopefully one day James is on the show, no longer under 40. But, you know, we'll see, Paul. You know? We'll ask you, Paul, if you have any questions. If we ever get the man himself, we'll make sure – before James comes on the podcast, we ask you if you have any questions for us.
Right on. I did have the incredible good fortune to meet James last year. I did not expect this to happen, but I was, so with the, I don't have, did either of you see the Escape from Margaritaville musical?
So I didn't see it. I had tickets and then it got canceled. So I didn't get to see it.
Same here. Okay.
It had its debut in Hollywood last year, like late January, I want to say.
Yep.
So early 2020. And so I went to I was at the opening night show for that. And like I'd been looking at social media stuff leading up to that, and it was clear that Jimmy was in Hollywood, and he was going to be at the show. And so at the theater, we saw him doing like a press thing beforehand, and then he came out at the very end to sing Margaritaville with the whole cast for the final thing. So that was cool. And then there was an after party afterwards, and somehow I ended up there. And at one point we looked over and we saw that there he was, and he was talking to some other people, and there were obviously, you know, a few levels of gatekeepers there that were keeping people separated from him. And
sure. People like me that may have been there, you know.
And at one point, someone we knew who was there kind of gave us the head nod and the wave, saying like, okay, now's the time if you guys want to come by. And so I did not have an opportunity to get a picture with him, but I also, you know, I didn't want to push it. Wanted to value this opportunity for what it was.
Sure.
And so it's just, you know, shaking his hand. I said, sir, I just want to say it's an honor and a privilege. But he looked me in the eye and said, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
So I got a question.
That's all I need.
Yeah. I ask you this because I know how it would go if I got to meet him. Did you cry?
I did not cry. I think I was probably still in shock to a degree.
Sure.
But yeah, the whole situation.
That makes sense. Very good. Very good. Did you get to say anything other than like, hey, man, nice to meet you. And boy, it's sure an honor to meet you.
Not really. I mean, there was still like, it was a small crowd of people and I didn't have a lot of time. It was one of those situations where, you know, you can kind of assess the situation and know that you have, you know, like, 10 seconds tops.
Be thankful for what you have, kind of deal.
Be thankful for what you have, and also, like, don't be a crazy person.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
You mean you weren't like, so what was the inspiration behind West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gang? I love you.
Can I have a lock of your hair, please? That's really cool, though. And you've spent some other time backstage, right? Like you were backstage at a couple of shows. And like, what's it like being back there? I guess you've been around some of the other Coral Reefers, and Adam and I's experience with them has been that they are unbelievable people. But, you know, anytime you've spent with them, how's that been?
It's great. And it's the kind of thing where that backstage area is, I mean, the Margaritaville and Buffett empire, for lack of a better word, has, like, there's a lot of components of that. I mean, you have the restaurant, you have the Sirius XM channel, there's, you know, the Margaritaville University, the alcohol business, the food business, the restaurant business. There's so many parts of that. And so all those different divisions that work with them have people that'll bring people into this area. So it's usually a collection of people who know somebody in some level who's managed to get here. Plus sometimes, especially in a Las Vegas situation, like VIP tickets or backstage access is just something that I think the MGM casino has, right, and will sometimes give out to people,
right,
or, you know, high rollers at the casino or whatever, mm-hmm, which is an interesting thing. Cause sometimes, like, usually if you find yourself in the first couple rows of a show, you're with the most diehard of the diehard fans, except for once in a while in Vegas, there'll be a handful of people that are just there because they got free tickets and they are very confused.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Like, sometimes in Vegas you get the very typical, you know, Jimmy Buffett live experience that we've all come to love. And then sometimes you have people who are Vegas high rollers who don't quite know what they've gotten themselves into, who show up in nice clothes and are sitting down and must be thinking, like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, backstage in general, I mean, you'll have there's usually tables set up with, like, they'll have margaritas or Landshark lager for people. There's usually some kind of food back there. In Vegas, oftentimes Frank Marshall will be there DJing backstage.
Very good.
And then, yeah, everyone just kind of mingles around, meets everyone, and, you know, you'll find a table and talk to a random person and immediately strike up a conversation where people start comparing their experiences. And one person might say, like, oh, I've been to 60 shows. And the next person will say, like, well, I've only been to 50, but one of those was in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You know, right. You get that kind of subtle one-upsmanship that'll go on amongst everyone.
That's so funny, man. A good way to describe it. Like, maybe a little bit once in a while, the subtle one-upsmanship. And I've experienced some of that. You know, like, sometimes my wife will brag on me and be like, man, my husband is the biggest Jimmy Buffett fan. We've been to, like, almost 36 shows, this, that, and the other. You know, and someone will be like, you know, they'll say something. And it's funny. You get that, which is neat, I guess. But here we are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just part of the whole – and I think we've talked about this a little bit, but – that community aspect of this subculture where it's always a friendly environment.
Yep.
Backstage, you'll always have good conversations. Everyone knows not to take this too seriously. Like, I think everyone recognizes to a point that this is pretty silly that we're doing this.
Yeah, sure.
So it's, you know, nothing ever gets too aggressive.
Right. Right. I love it.
Well, I hope I'm not judged on my Buffett fandom based on the amount of shows I've been to. But for me, you know, it is, as I've said a million times on here, as much as I loved, unfortunately, the only show I've been able to go to, and I had plans to go to a couple more by now that just obviously hasn't worked out due to the current health situation. But, you know, the songs themselves, man, are what's so important to me and what draws me so much, which kind of leads us to probably my favorite part of the show. And I'm really excited to hear your kind of four desert island songs, Paul.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as we've said, this changes, you know,
oh, yeah,
by the day, by the hour, whatever. Oh, yeah. And I know that this is one that you talked about in the last episode and have spoken about a little bit, but Color of the Sun is one that has really, really been a big one for me lately. And I think part of that is, like, out here in LA with the amount of smog and pollution that we have, that does, yeah, lead to some really beautiful sunsets.
Sure.
Sometimes. And so there's been times when you'll look out and see, you know, all the different colors in the sky. And to me, that's always the first song that comes to mind.
Man, Peter played it so beautifully the other day too. I hated that, you know, he had some internet issues, unfortunately, but man, it was just amazing to hear him play those songs. Especially, that's another one. Like, you heard me rave about that song last week. So yeah, it's cool. Great choice, man.
Yes. I mean, that's definitely one of them. The Wino and I Know has always been one of my favorites. I think, I mean, some of the lyrics in that may be some of my favorite Buffett lyrics.
Oh yeah.
Like specifically the living on things that excite me, be they pastry, lobster, or love, just trying to get by, being quiet and shy in a world full of pushing and shove.
Yes, sir. So, very good.
It sums it all up right there.
Jimmy gets pretty high vocally there too.
Yeah.
Showing his range off a little bit. I've always liked that part of it.
I may have just made my mind up, Paul. The Wino and I Know, maybe if I can make it till tomorrow without listening to James, that may be the song I listen to first on the way to work. Because you're right, man. I've talked about that song before on the show, and I've mentioned that line, I think, and I couldn't be more in agreement. Incredible.
And there was I can't remember what year it was, but like 2013 or 15 or whatever. But for a while, I know that was what they opened their shows with. Mm-hmm. With full band just going into that. And it's a great opener too.
Yeah. When did you think it was?
Like 2013, 14 yeah. or 15, somewhere in there.
I was going to say, man, we're dating ourselves, Paul. I think it was before that. Might have been like 10. I think that was like 9, 10, 11 maybe.
Oh, could have been. Could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. That was tons of fun.
So see, that's two of them. You know, Cowboy in the Jungle is another one I go back to a lot. I think that's one of those great story songs he has that really showcases his talents as a songwriter and storyteller.
Yeah.
And there was, he used to do, like once in a while, he's done a medley in concert where he plays Cowboy in the Jungle and goes into Banana Republics.
Yep.
And I mean, that's, you get the best of both right there. So anytime someone's fortunate enough to be at a show with that medley, that's something special.
Big time. I agree. Number four, no pressure, Paul. You don't get a bonus track. So you gotta, you know.
Yeah, you know,
think through this one.
I may just have to go back to Tin Cup.
Yeah.
My fourth.
Good for you, man. And I think that's poignant. I think it's poignant, right? One of the tunes that got it going for you, being the fourth one, you're right, man. Like, I love it.
And one of the, I mean, I think that the Songs You Don't Know by Heart collection that he put out last year is a great thing and a great collection. But I think I appreciate the fact that he put out Encores as a collection even more.
Oh yeah,
because to me that's the ultimate in terms of, like, I can't imagine any other artist putting out something that, like, it's such a niche audience that would care about that.
Oh, so good,
you know, of the most diehards who's into just the solo acoustic last song of a show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so I remember seeing him do Tin Cup live, and I feel like when I saw him do that the first time, it was something that wasn't even on, like somehow we saw a copy of what the set list was, like someone else had posted online or something, and it wasn't even on the set list. It was just a last minute decision that he made that night to go back out and play that one.
Yeah.
And so anytime that's a solo acoustic encore, that's a special show.
Yeah, so the one time that I have seen Buffett live, he came back out for an encore that wasn't on the set either of Nautical Wheelers.
And oh, yeah, that's a good one.
He played two verses of that and then went into Tin Cup.
Ooh,
and I was,
that's fantastic.
I was like, well, you know, if I die tonight, I'm okay.
It's
amazing.
When you mentioned encores, though, Paul, that's what I thought about. Like, man, if I think one of the songs on there is from Paris. He played He Went to Paris in Paris. And like,
yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine? One of the worst absolute nights of my life was in Paris, France. Fun fact, I had food poisoning. And
you're always getting sick on the road, man. Stay home. Dude,
I'm telling you. I need to wash my hands more, man. If the pandemic has been good for one reason, I wash the heck out of my hands. So there's that. But man, I had some bad food poisoning. Or it was an allergic reaction. They still don't know. I lost like 14 pounds in 3 days. I was sick as a dog.
Tests are still being conducted.
That's right. And I'll tell you, to this day, I will not eat duck, because in the event that it was an allergic reaction, I want no more part of that. But when I think of Paris, France, I think about that and a really mean cab driver that I had. But now, once in a while, I'll think of, if I got to be in Paris and listen to James play He Went to Paris, I'd probably deal with every cab driver that was mean I had to, you know? So there you go.
Hank, what are your four songs this week, man?
I love it. You got it. So let me tell you, we've been talking a lot about James, his music, his songwriting, those kind of things. Let me tell you what I love about him. And I won't say I've made some enemies. I've probably annoyed some people with this, but I'm going to be honest with you. James's career is littered with songs that he did better than the original artist. And I'm gonna rub some people the wrong way right off the bat with my first song.
Send us an email. Directed. Yep.
Send us an email.
You know, direct it towards Hank.
Under40pod@gmail.com. Send us an email. Paul knows the email. He emailed us, you know, so it does work. Under40pod@gmail.com. Let me get this one out of the way now. She's Got You off Fruitcakes.
I'm going to agree with you. It's so much better.
I believe that's a Patsy Cline song.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and let me tell you what, if that was a high school football game, Patsy Cline wants a running clock in the fourth quarter because it's right. A blowout. It's not even close, you know, and I'm sure like maybe Patsy Cline's granddaughter or grandson is listening. And, I want you to know, if you're related to Patsy Cline and you hear this, I'm not taking that back. I said what I mean, and I mean what I say. Nothing away from Patsy. She was incredible. But James absolutely rocked it on that song. Here's what James had that Patsy Cline did not. Michael Utley, you know, like the music with his version on Fruitcakes is incredible. So that's it. She's Got You. That's the first one. The second one is going to really anger some people. Also, to me, the difference is Bobby G and Michael Utley, but the second song, Scarlet Begonias, no offense to Jerry, incredible guy, incredible musician. But Scarlet Begonias, the Coral Reefers, yes, I'm going to say it, do it much better than the Grateful Dead.
Hey, you know, I agree with you there. I love the Jimmy version of Scarlet Begonias.
That's it.
I've also seen, it's just a random thing that I noticed happened is being at a show live where they play Scarlet Begonias, when they get to that line, strangers stopping strangers just to shake their hands, like everyone literally turns to the stranger next to them and shakes their hands in the crowd.
Have you ever seen Dead and Company, Paul?
I've not.
I wonder if they do that at their shows too.
Yeah, I don't know. I believe it.
Interesting. I'm going to go see those folks next year, maybe when they're back on the road, because it's a good question, but I love it. I mean, I just love the tune. That would be fun. I've never seen it live, but now I'm looking forward to it, you know, looking forward to it. So the third one, some gentlemen named Crosby, Stills, and Nash wrote a song called Southern Cross that, once again, no offense to any of them, blowout. Jimmy Buffett, Southern Cross Live is absolutely an incredible musical experience. And so I've been listening to that one quite loud this week, Southern Cross. And then the last one, Adam, you mentioned it earlier.
Just to jump in on Southern Cross real quick.
Do it.
There was a few years ago, you know how they'll often do that mini acoustic set within the show? There was a point a few years back where I think it was like Piece of Work, Volcano, and Southern Cross in the acoustic set.
Yes.
And I remember being really surprised that they would put Southern Cross in an acoustic set, because I thought, you know, is it going to have the same kind of energy that it would have with the full electric arrangement? But it was in some ways almost better. Like just the energy and the attack on all the acoustics going at it in that one, it was such a vibrant performance of it.
Yeah, and I've heard that, and I remember hearing that live, and the musicianship is incredible. Like really
absolutely
incredible. So no doubt Southern Cross, and the last one, number four for me, Adam, old Leon Russell tune. I won't say anything bad about Leon, but Back to the Island, man. Shout out Back to the Island Society, coming soon, but Back to the Island is great. And I love that song. I don't know what the meaning of it is, but I do know this. When I hear the lines, watch the sun go down, hear the sea roll in, and I'll be thinking of you and how it might have been, I immediately go back to 23 or 24-year-old Hank, and I think to myself, well, thank goodness I didn't, because I met my wife. But I immediately think, what if I had been 23 and had just done it and moved down to Key West or down to the islands and made it happen? I think about what might have been all the time. And now I have a whole lot of stuff that I'm glad I'm not missing out on in life right now. But I hear those lines and I think about, you know, one day I want to be down there watching the sun go down, listening to a little music and hanging out. And so that's my fourth one, is Back to the Island.
Is it backtotheisland.org?
All right. Yes, there you go. Shout out Leon Russell, License to Chill. Great album.
All right. So the reason you caught me a little sidetracked earlier was because I wanted to get these four. So I take these four songs seriously, right? I don't want to just throw four songs out that I'm not truly vibing with right now.
No, we appreciate that.
It's the first one. I don't know about in the western part of the state, Hank, but over here in the eastern part of North Carolina, we've had some severe weather all throughout the week. Like these beautiful days, and then at night, like hailstorms, thunderstorms, power flickering on and off. So I'm going with Savannah, Fare You Well. You know, there's something in the wind tonight, some kind of change in the weather.
Well, I want to say real quick, you know, I got so many people back east. That's where I'm from. And I hope Elizabeth, now Vaughn McAllister, but was Elizabeth Vaughn growing up, and Chris Hastings, both back east. Boy, I hope you guys are doing all right through all the weather. They are loyal listeners. So, man, hope they're doing all right.
Yeah, we've dodged a few bullets throughout the last, I don't know, two or three weeks. We've just had some tumultuous weather. And I love that song. Another, that's a cover from Far Side of the World, or a song Jimmy didn't write, at least. Man, I love that song. Love to play it too. But the other, I put on Songs from Saints Somewhere Friday night just because I don't listen to it enough. And Paul Color of the Sun's the main reason I put it on. I was just waiting for it, you know, to get to track 14. But on the way there, you know, I heard a lot of great songs, and one of them was a song Jimmy did on his last tour at the beginning of the tour, and that's Tides. And
I love Tides.
Man, that song's got a great groove to it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Just feels good. I love anytime he talks about his song lines, man, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm on board. I'll follow the song lines too, buddy.
I think Tides was, like, the first time I heard that album, that was immediately the standout for me. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like the banger of the album, it seems like, you know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Earl's Dead Cadillac for Sale on that one, jamming, you know.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good song. Which, like you said, Hank, we're not going to say many aren't good. Anyway, shout out Math Sucks. But
and Too Drunk to Karaoke.
Too Drunk to Karaoke is the worst. I think that's the absolute worst. Thank you. Yeah, let's go ahead and air that out. If you don't think Too Drunk to Karaoke is the worst song Jimmy's recorded, send us an email and we'll respectfully disagree. But the next one, man, with these gas prices soaring, I got quarters in my loafers trying to fight inflation when it only used to take a cent. Like, yep, we're the people our parents warned us about. I love that song, man. That song makes me feel so good. And that is my favorite line from the whole song. I got quarters in my loafers.
That song is full of one. I was supposed to have been a Jesuit priest or a Naval Academy grad. That was the way that my parents perceived me, and those are the plans that they had.
Yeah.
I love it. And I couldn't fit the part too dumb or too smart, you know, like unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a really fun song. And then my last one, we actually heard this one in Virginia Beach, Hank, and I think it was the first time they played it on the tour, but a Jesse Winchester song, Nothing But a Breeze. Mm-hmm. So my wife never asked to do anything, right? She's always just like, go with the flow. But yesterday in Wilmington, in the Wilmington area, there was this community yard sale, and she loves to thrift and stuff like that. So she wanted to go there. And the little first community we went in, every house looked exactly the same. And so immediately I thought about the line, you know, I know the woman wishes we could move somewhere where the houses aren't all the same. So, and I was like, oh man, I got to go listen to that now. So that was kind of my jam for yesterday, but, the weather was perfect yesterday, and we ended up like walking through like the nicest community I've ever seen in my life. And, the Bradfords, the Azaleas, the Dogwoods were all blooming. It was just like a perfect day. And that song was like just playing through my head because of all those houses in that first community looking the same. So
Paul is a West Coast guy. So Paul, those are flowers and plants that he named. Bradfords, Azaleas, those kind of things. Those are like plants and flowering plants and that kind of thing.
So yeah, that's my list. Wanted to make sure I got it right. So
I love it. Well, great job as always, Adam.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you guys had a good list too. You know, if I only had to listen to the 12 songs we picked for the next few weeks, I think I'd be okay. But I'm glad I'm not confined to that.
That's a great point. And Paul, we can't thank you enough, man, for coming on and for your kind email and your support. This has been really awesome. Like I said earlier, I don't know if I said it before we were recording or after. You're the first, and thankfully we've had some more, but you're the first who really dove in and was like, man, I love you guys' podcast. And I wish that you know this. You know, this is what a great reminder that a small, kind act can really make someone's day. Like I got that email because you're a West Coast guy, and it was like later when you sent it, you know. And I got that email, and the first time I checked it, I'm like laying there with my wife, and my kid's been up crying since like 3 a.m. and I was like, oh my god, we got a fan, you know. I was fired up, and it was very early on. But Paul, we appreciate you, man, and appreciate you coming on so much, and loved getting to talk about James with you tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah, and you know, again, really, really appreciate what you guys do. And it's such a wholesome and sincere dialogue about this, which is great. And, you know, it's such a good community of people that are into this. And, you know, I've said before that, like, a lot of people might start with, you know, the Margaritaville and Cheeseburger and Volcano and get into those top lines, greatest hits, and just see it as an excuse to drink outdoors and party once or twice a year. But
yeah, which is fun for the record.
And you know, that is great. And if that's all this was, that would be a good thing. But you know, it's worth diving deeper and seeing that these are, I mean, you look at things like Death of an Unpopular Poet or Wonder Why We Ever Go Home, or some of these other older songs, 12 Volt Man, Distantly in Love. These are just, as a songwriter, just fantastic songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, Paul. And thank you for the kind words, especially. That means a lot coming from someone who obviously adores the music as much as you do. But we have heard from plenty of people that this is like a very, we've heard those words, right? Wholesome and sincere. And it's like, well, gosh, I'm not going to do a podcast, you know, in tribute to someone's music and not just rave about it, right? Like, I'm not going to get here and talk about, you know, I don't see the point of doing that. So, but it means a lot to us that people like you who so genuinely love the music are enjoying what we're doing. It really does. So thank you.
And Adam, we are reverent. Don't forget, shout out Podcasting in Paradise. We are a reverent group here. So You're right, Paul. It does mean a lot, man. And there's, you know, what's been fun too. There's a lot more of us out there than you think, you know. And
oh, yeah.
That's been a lot of
fun. I've actually noticed more and more. I mean, obviously not this past year, but the few years leading up to that, I've been starting to see more younger people at the shows, and not just people who were clearly brought by their parents, because there's always that contingent too.
All right.
But yeah, a fair amount of people are starting to recognize that this is something worth celebrating, and a subculture that's welcoming and open and just all about having a good time.
Perfectly put. And check us out on Facebook, Paul. I don't know if you're on Under 40 Victims of Fate. We got a Facebook page now. Shout out to our friend Jana, who helps us with our social media. She's got a great Etsy shop. Parrothead shop on Etsy is hers, but she also helps us, and she is genuinely a Jimmy Buffett fan and a wonderful person. And we got a Facebook page. Check us out there. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram.
If you were wondering why our Instagram page looks so much better, it's because Jane has taken it over, just like replying to people who send messages. So
I'm trying to talk her into taking the Twitter next. So surprise, Jana, when you hear this, you got the Twitter next week. So
yeah, we desperately need someone to take that out of your hands. So
No doubt. Well, hey, folks, have a great night. Thanks for listening. Paul, couldn't have had more fun, man. Thank you so much again for being on. Hope you've all enjoyed Under 40 Victims of Fate tonight. No Peter Mayer, but man, we had a powerful, unbelievable guest in Paul Anderson, and we're thankful for it. Take care, and Adam, sign us off.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to play this on the way out in hopes that it is the same version of Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street. And yeah, so see, yeah, kind of power ballady, right?
No doubt.
Yeah, hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for listening. This has been Under 40 Victims of Fate, and we'll see you next week.
Hands up, everybody.
Thank you.